welcome to episode 124 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents Sandy, Laura, and Lindsay. And this week we're excited to introduce Outlander Travel's newest agent, Donna. Yay! This is our applause track. Yeah. we're not very expensive here. Donna got bitten by the travel bug in high school while attending several Girl Scout wider opportunities. These are opportunities for older Girl Scouts to travel to other parts of the country and the world to learn about the culture and environment of different areas. Growing up in San Antonio, Texas, Donna was immersed in a multicultural community and learned appreciation for the differences of many cultures. When she met her husband, she again was able to travel to foreign lands and experience other places. From all over the U.S. to the Caribbean to parts of Europe, she loves helping families plan trips to dream destinations or just around the corner, which can also be a dream destination, right?
That is true.
You never know what's right around the corner. So one of the things we always like to do when we're introducing an agent is talk about what your favorite, all-time favorite trip was your whole life. It could be when you were three. We were going to challenge you and say that you don't remember it for real, though. But you can go with it if you want. So what was your favorite?
Well, I actually put a lot of thought into this, and it was a real toss-up. My first one was a trip to Alaska. It was actually a Girl Scout trip when
awesome.
I was 18.
Girl Scout trip.
Wow. I was 18 and just about to graduate high school. I was one of the oldest girls there. And I flew into Juneau, spent a couple of days in Juneau going out to the Mendenhall Glacier and playing around Juneau and doing some of the museums there. And then we took one of those nice long 24-hour ferries that you just kind of do nothing for 24 hours all the way out to Sitka. And stayed at the University of Alaska in Sitka, and we went to we worked at a hatchery. We worked at a raptor center, and one of my best memories of that is actually I got to hold a full size bald eagle.
That was heavy, wasn't it?
It was.
I've never held one, but I look at them
and they're a lot bigger than you think they are.
Wow!
So it was a really fantastic experience. And then the second trip was actually as I was graduating college. My husband had lost his job. We had sold our house, but I was still stuck up in the Seattle area and had to finish school. So it was either stay in Seattle for 3 months and finish school or go to Italy for 2.5 weeks. And it was actually cheaper for me to go to Italy for 2.5 weeks. So I spent
much deliberation.
Oh, darn. and being an art major, you know, going to Italy was definitely a hands down favorite. And so I spent 2.5 weeks going to Rome, Caprarola, Assisi, Siena, and Florence. And so I got to go some of the most world famous museums to see all the art that I had studied for years about. I got to see the buildings that had shaped our democracy and our built and our architecture for, you know, centuries. And it was just a fascinating experience.
Now, was your husband on? You went with him?
Or? No, this was school.
Okay.
This was a class.
Oh, that's awesome.
I got graded on this.
I love stories like that where people say, well, I was broke, so I went to Italy. Because mm-hmm. people always say, it's too expensive to go. But, you know, sometimes, actually, if you're really smart about it.
Paying 3 months of a furnished apartment in downtown Bellevue would have cost a lot more
than
that.
Yeah.
I love that, the stories of the getting bitten by the travel bug when you're young and you're taking those school trips or Girl Scout trips or something.
Sure.
I'm really trying to shove my kids on every trip I can. Because, yeah. I mean, you know, I want them to experience this stuff. I wish I had done more. When I was a kid, and, you know, I remember our French club went to Quebec when I was a freshman. And I was like, oh, my best friends aren't going. I don't want it. I'm like, why didn't I go to Quebec?
You totally didn't go?
No, I didn't go.
Well, I had a chance to go to India when I was in Girl Scouts. And I said, no, I don't want to go to India. India is such an awful place. I don't want to go there. Yeah. Now I can kick myself for not going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important that you not prejudge destinations like that. Because I think that we always jump to conclusions and talk ourselves out of opportunities that could mm-hmm. actually really change
your, sure.
you know, your life. So, and I'm sure both of those experiences did because they're right at formative years.
Well, and my children, I mean, they're more well-traveled than I ever was at their age.
Yeah.
So then what made go ahead. Go ahead, Laura.
On the other side of that, you know, for anyone who's considering it, Seattle and Bellevue are beautiful areas of the world.
Oh, they're fantastic. And I can tell you the best restaurants to go to. And yes.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite. I had a friend who was in the Navy. She was stationed in Bremerton, yeah. And I used to go visit her. And she'd go to work and she'd drop me at the ferry. And I'd take the ferry across to Seattle and wander around by the fish market and have every mind be attracted to me and want to make me the center of their whatever they were doing, and then I'd sit right on the international waterway and have the coldest beer and the hottest pizza I'd ever eaten and see the beautiful sights. I love Seattle.
If only there was someone we knew in Seattle.
I was going to say, Lindsay, see how romantic the ferry is? You say it's such a drag, but everybody loves it.
I don't say it's not the ferry itself is not a drag. The ferry schedule, I feel like Cinderella most of my life. Because if I don't make it there before the strike of the last boat, I'm just out of luck. That's it.
It's you and a pumpkin. Yeah.
There's no fairy godmother into a boat to get me across the water. So, yeah. But you all need to come visit me.
Okay.
I think we should.
So then how did Donna, getting back to, let's get this back to you instead of it being about us. What then made you say, you know, I want to take this love of travel and I want to help other people? Like, what was the moment where you decided that that was something you wanted to do?
Well, I've been doing it for years without getting paid to do that, mm-hmm. actually, from my mother, who is completely technologically inept. So I've been booking her travel for years and, you know, just doing it. And the thing was, is that I really took a hard look at what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And I says, okay, what do I love doing? And I love going to new places and seeing new things and experiencing new ideas and new foods and all that things. And so I said, you know what? I want to be a travel agent. 'Cause you know what? Then I get to travel.
Mm. Isn't that true? Oh, the glamour. Yeah, we've talked about that on this show as well. You know, everybody sees us traveling around and think, you know, I want your job. But I can assure you that the day I just had sitting at my desk pushing paperwork around for 12 hours is not what you have in mind on you. It's a trade-off.
And just the other day, I spent 2 hours on hold.
Yes.
So
there you go.
Yes. Yes, that happens a lot with some of the best hold music out there.
And you'll find your trips become more centered around areas and resorts that your clients are interested in, less centered around the things and places that you want to go.
And you'll find yourself throwing your stuff together in a bag like the night before, you know, like, and you've forgotten to pack toiletries or
second trip now in a row that I've forgotten to do.
Someone else, and you don't have a toothbrush at the airport.
Yeah.
So, okay, so now that you've decided that you want to sell travel and you've started experiencing the glamour of the travel life, what do you want to specialize in? What are your strengths, do you think?
Well, I really know the U.S. pretty well. I've been to over 40 states, and so I know a lot about the United States and getting around and what are things to do in most of the major cities. The other thing is that I love going to Europe, and I've been there probably 4 times. And so I've experienced several of the different countries there, Germany and Austria and Italy and France and Spain. And I just love it. I absolutely do. And I've made my mistakes, and you know what? That's how you learn.
Yes.
Yes. We had a $300 lunch in Barcelona. I can tell people not to do that.
So how do you avoid that?
You read the menu properly.
Yeah, I had a $20 cup of coffee in Venice. I did. And, you know, I think that's actually like a famous mistake people make is you go to St. Mark's Square and sit there and there's all these beautiful cafes set up and you're like, oh, I'll have my cup of coffee with the pigeons or whatever. And yeah, then they bring the bill and it's like, oh,
That's low. You pay for that privilege.
Yeah, I just thought it was going to be romantic, but it's really just
those
expensive.
Are expensive pigeons.
They're expensive pigeons.
They are not cheap dates.
Pigeons are high maintenance. So, so what is the next trip you have planned coming up for yourself?
Actually, for spring break, we are going over to Denver, visit my parents, or my mother, and we're going to do a little skiing, spring skiing. Haven't figured out which resort we're going to, but my favorite, by all, is Vail. So, you know, that's always at the top of the list.
So you actually ski?
Not well.
Oh. Oh, I mean, the fact that you put skis on, I think, Laura, have you skied before?
I love to ski. Remember, I grew up in Buffalo, New York.
That's what I thought. I thought maybe you'd been on skis.
Yeah, we ski like other people, you know, like people in the South play tennis in their backyard.
Yeah.
And my best friend was head of the ski patrol. So I got to go for free, you know, because he and his family, well, not head of it, but he and his parents were both on the ski patrol. So I love to downhill ski, and I don't exactly have the body type that most people look at and think, now there's a skier. And then they get like, there's a snowman. But I ski on about 150s on the short skis, and I usually don't take poles, and I love to do. I was just going to say, I've always wanted to go and ski in Telluride.
The million-dollar highway is right around Telluride, and it's a beautiful stretch of road. And back in the 60s, it cost a million. That's why they call it the million-dollar highway. And it's just these hairpin turns down a canyon, and it's fantastic.
Ugh. That sounds like motion sickness. Yeah.
I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'm not throwing myself on a perfectly good mountain.
Nope. Especially the slippery things.
Have you not skied, Elizabeth?
No.
Really?
No, and don't go giving Walter any ideas.
Oh.
No. Well, and we've actually done an episode on a summer in Colorado, because I've been there in the summer as a non-skier, so maybe we'll be able to do an episode now on.
I thought we did.
We've done some ski. Yeah, we did. We did, actually. We talked to
I think we did skiing everywhere there, right?
Yeah, but we focused on Colorado because we have...
Elizabeth?
Yes,
ma'am. One of the things that you might consider doing is if you're in a group and people want to go skiing, is that many ski resorts have added tubing to their offerings.
Oh, yeah. Now that I do. Yeah,
and it's not only tubing, but it's the best kind of sledding, because you get to ride the T-bar or the chairlift back up. So you don't have to walk back up the hill.
Winning.
You have a ride back to the top of the hill.
Winning. Unfortunately, the next time I'm going to be in a ski town is in June again, so I don't think I'm going to do it this time around. But
well, I think Colorado's gotten enough snow this year that they're going to be skiing through June and July.
Really?
Yes.
Well, maybe I will.
It's just one of those things to consider when you're, you know, when you've got, if you're planning for a group of folks and someone doesn't want to ski, that there are usually other options now.
Have you been to Crested Butte?
No. No, we've done Breckenridge, Keystone, Vail, Copper. I've done Gatlinburg, Snowshoe.
You can actually ski in Gatlinburg?
I don't think that
you're skiing on boilerplate ice. That's not real skiing.
Places to be saying that you don't ski well.
And Stevens Pass, Snoqualmie Falls, and Winter Park.
Yeah.
I think we need to send you on a Club Med ski trip next winter.
Yeah. What do you mean send her on?
Well, I think she should take one.
I think you need to start looking at that and then report back to us.
Yes.
They're all expensive.
I'll go with you, because I think the après ski scene needs to be covered very well, too.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So you can
ski. I'll take a nap.
And I'll do the hot tubs. That's my plan.
Wait, I'll do the bars. Lindsay will do the spa.
Wait, I'll go check out the food.
And I'll ski with you.
Yeah, yes. Okay, Laura
and I can ski.
You'll need someone there skiing too, I guess.
Yeah, I've done Snowshoe, Winter Place, Timberline, which is in Oregon, right near Lindsay. My sister was married about 12 years ago at Timberline Ski Resort, and part of it was she rented a little tiny itty bitty lodge right in the middle of the ski resort with bunk beds for everybody and big stone fireplaces, and we all had a ski and ski out, and we all skied for 2 days of her wedding.
Oh, that's cool. That sounds like fun.
So how does a girl from Texas learn to ski?
I married a guy that lives in Tennessee.
Is that the
guy? So I ask again. Yeah. Now you're going to tell me they ski in Pittsburgh.
There is not that much to do in the wintertime in Knoxville, Tennessee. So you have a season pass to go to Gatlinburg. You get off work, you drive down to Ober, and you ski for a couple hours. And then, and I moved in with him, and we ended up getting married, and he took me skiing.
And now you go to Colorado, so.
Oh, then it's much better.
Move up. Yeah. Congratulations on that. So do you still work with the Girl Scouts?
I do. Actually, I am the cookie mom right now for my little, my daughter. My daughter's brownie
I'm
true.
I'm really upset that there were no cookies in your bag.
They were in my car.
She brought cookies tonight.
I keep this year. I'm like cookie cursed or something. It's like I can't. I just keep missing them, and they catch me at the ferry with the wagon when we don't have any cash.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Or like I'm $1. I had $4, so I couldn't get a $5 box of cookies.
Well, they're $5 there.
They're only $4
here.
They're
only $4 here. Yeah. Another reason to move.
And I have a Square, so I can charge. I can take credit cards.
See, Girl Scouts take credit cards now? Wow.
I take credit cards.
If the little girl pulling the wagon had like whipped out a credit card reader.
Yep.
Yeah. It could happen.
I didn't have any enough cash.
I bet there's Girl Scouts in Colorado that set up shop outside the medical marijuana facilities. Yes. I bet they take credit cards.
They do very, very, very well.
Business too. I've heard they've done news stories on that.
Yeah.
So brownies then. So you haven't graduated to trips yet, right?
Yeah. No, usually the trips start when they're cadets and seniors. So that's usually about 8th, 9th grade through 12th grade. And that's when the wider opportunities really kick in.
So stick with Girl Scouts, ladies.
I wish my daughter had. I loved Girl Scouts and did some really fun.
I did too. I wish I had stayed in. I made it to cadet, but then we moved, and there was no troop nearby. But I missed it.
I actually had a sweet mate in college who was with the campus Girl Scouts. They had like a college.
They did, but it wasn't real active, and so that's when I dropped off the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. But in high school, I did a trip to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Woohoo!
Oh, it was more fun than it sounds. We did spring break in Manhattan Beach, California, and when we got to go to Universal Studios back lot tour, and we did Disneyland. And then the next year I got to do a camping trip up the west side of the Rockies and came down the east side going to Carlsbad, Mesa Verde, Arches, nice. The Great Salt Lake, Yellowstone, Colorado Springs, the Air Force Academy, and all. And it was a fantastic trip. And then the culmination was actually the trip to Alaska.
It's so great to talk to somebody who's been to 40 states too. Cause I think that's one thing that as Americans, no matter how much we travel, we tend not to hit that many states. Like we just don't get to that many states. Some people have goals to do it. And
I have friends who have done a race in all 50 states.
But you really
back around on their second time.
Yeah, you really have to work at it. It is difficult because you end up going to the same state again and again for, you know, various reasons.
Visiting family.
We're going down to Orlando
or we're going to go to the family.
So what are you missing?
I'm missing Hawaii.
Really?
Yep. Have not made it to Hawaii.
See, that's so funny.
Montana, South Dakota, Connecticut.
Really, that's a really good national park.
Rhode Island, New Jersey, New York.
Really?
Wow.
I've missed most of New England.
So New England, here's a tip. You can do New England in like a weekend.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I've done Maine and New Hampshire and Vermont, but I've never been to that kind of middle part of New England.
You could do that.
That is fascinating because really there's some places there that are like, I mean, New York is such a destination. People, you know, at least New York City.
I know. I'm still working on that one.
No, that's all. But it's awesome. It's actually kind of cool because it does mean that you've sort of saved some of the, you know.
Yeah, you got some good ones.
I got one more state. We got to go to Hawaii. Oh, well.
Oh, darn.
Oh, well. If I don't check that off the list, that's great. That does make it a lot easier. So you've been in North Dakota, but not South Dakota?
We had family in Fargo.
Okay.
And Fargo is, as the movie suggests, even though that was in Brainerd, Minnesota.
Yeah, it was Minnesota.
It was Minnesota. Yes, in North Dakota. So
Fargo, just like my mother.
Yeah. So Fargo is as desolate as it was in the movie. So
yeah,
I had a stepson who was in the Air Force, and he was in Minot, North Dakota.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah.
And the T-shirt said, "Why not Minot? Reason is the reason."
Well, I was there in the hottest day of the year, and it was 98 degrees. And in North Dakota, they don't have air conditioning. So wow. I got heat exhaustion.
So you were lucky enough to be there when it was hot.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
One day.
For that one day. Wow. Yes.
I was there in January one year to visit when Josh was in Iraq, and I got pneumonia. It was so cold. And there's nothing there to stop the wind.
Mm-mm.
There's like, it's all so flat and
it's actually North Dakota is kind of a running joke for me. It's kind of like I've never seen an alligator. No matter how many times I've been to Florida, I've met people from all over the country. I really think I've probably met somebody it's at least lived in every state at some point in their lives, except North Dakota. I've never met anyone from North Dakota.
Oh, you've never met my husband.
Oh, is he from North Dakota?
Yeah.
Okay. And I haven't met him, so now I can't because I have to keep my record down. But it's funny because it's like nobody. It's either like nobody ever leaves North Dakota, so I never see them. Like they never travel from there. But or they never claim that they've lived there.
Wait, how many electoral votes? Because I know like Montana has 3 electoral votes.
Yeah, it's very small.
Very, very, very small.
Large state with a small population. Yes. I think North Dakota is the same. Right?
Nothing against North Dakota. I've never been there, so
just no one lives.
No, it's very loosely populated, and it's only in the places like Minot or the places like Fargo, and you go in between the two of them and there's nothing out there.
Yeah.
Hey Donna, do you have a bucket list place that you want to go, like a couple of things that are right?
Oh, I do. Yes. Oh yes, I want to take my husband on a tour of England and Scotland and Ireland. My heredity is actually from Ireland, and so I want to go check out where my family came from. And I want to take him on a brewery tour
because
we like to drink beer. And
that's a prerequisite.
And I want to get back to Germany because I want to go to the art museum in Berlin because I want to see the Hults or the Dutch masters that are there,
and also beer.
Oh, and also, of course, and also beer. And my last, I've got two more. I want to do St. Petersburg in Moscow and see the Winter Palace, especially in St. Petersburg and the Amber Room. And I want to go to the Forbidden City in Beijing.
Nice.
I stayed right next to it. We didn't go. We had a very limited, we spent a whole day getting out to the Great Wall. We just ran out of time is really what it came down to. My sister ended up with food poisoning. And so it was just sort of a bad luck kind of thing.
Yes.
And we were only there for I think we were there for 2 nights total, but we got there late. So, it's one of those things where I'm like, we talked about it. We talked about, it really was probably just a few blocks away, but
we can just go back.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
We'll do that. So especially, we've got two places on your list where you need visas that are very difficult to get now. So I'll just go with that. So, okay. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. Thank you for joining us, Donna. We're really happy to have you with us tonight.
Thank you.
And thank you for bringing Girl Scout cookies too. Donna's the best.
I told you I'm the favorite.
On behalf of Lindsay, Laura, Sandy, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.